broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And from the El Pacifico is where we broadcast this thing. Monday through Friday, if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, well, you can see the El Pacifico. If you're not, you should. If you don't know about our website, go there and check it out. If you like our show, we got thousands of hours of audio available for you there at philhendryshow.com. There's a whole lot about this radio show that if you're listening to it for the first time, you just don't know. And believe me when I tell you, if you think you can listen to this show once and get it, you can't. However, if it takes you 6 months, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, people like that are mental.
I wouldn't call them mental. Anyway, that was Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
And this is our news and information hour. So we do thank Dr. Jim Sadler with his take on domestic violence. And, well, of course, I don't like domestic violence, but if she argues with you politically, you're going to get up and take your rings off. I don't know what that's about.
Well, guys, he needs help. Because he thinks he's healthy.
He ain't healthy. That's for sure. And whatever the hell it was we did in the first hour, something, I forget. It's whoever we had. Oh, I know, it was Larry Grover, right?
Well, he's talking about the debate.
The debate. Did you guys watch the debate? Well, look, debates are good, and debates are, you can find out a lot about a candidate. It all depends on what you want. I don't know, call me crazy. What I like with a candidate has to do with, is he trying to tell me something I want to hear? Is he telling me something that I need to hear? Is it in accordance with how I feel about things? Everybody has a different view as to how America needs to run. And at the end of the day, you know, you vote, and then you go along with the majority opinion. That's why we say majority rules in a democracy. Of course it does. And I'm sorry you lost, and it's really tough, and oh gee whiz, and all that stuff, but, you know, let's just grow up and move on, and we got another president. I don't mean that just in terms of people that might not have voted for Obama. I mean that in terms of people that didn't vote for Bush, people that didn't vote for Clinton, people that didn't vote for Danny, you know, on and on and on and on.
You just have to...
Oh, Bud, can you put some paper in there?
I'll try.
Ran out of paper on the printer. But point being... You suck it up like a grown-up, and you live with it, and you live to fight another day, like they say. Now, tonight there was this debate, and I saw some things that were, you know, and I'm actually yawning now thinking about it.
You thinking about who, Ron Paul?
No, I'm not thinking about it, but let me tell you this. I saw some stuff that was a little shocking. And I saw, and I have the greatest respect for Congressman Paul. I don't agree with his basic outlook for America. I don't believe that it is a... I don't think it takes into consideration how society has changed, how the world has changed. But nonetheless, I'm not disagreeing with him, basically. That's not why I want to take him to task a little bit. I heard him say something that I was stunned to hear. I heard him say that Al-Qaeda... And the reasons that Al-Qaeda gave for attacking America on September the 11th were the actual reasons for their murderous attack and killing of 3,000 people. In other words, if Al-Qaeda said that they were doing it because they cared about the Palestinians, they didn't like Americans being on the soil of the sacred soil of a Muslim country, and they thought the Palestinians were getting screwed over and Israel was getting everything. If that's what they said, Ron Paul believes those are real reasons. I'm not saying he thinks they're legitimate. I'm not saying that he thinks they are the rationale to commit the kind of murder that they committed. But he believes that those are the actual reasons. And I find that to be nuts.
Why?
Because there's the Sunni gang that committed this crime, Al-Qaeda, is a group of psychopaths. murdering psychopaths. Murdering psychopaths. You telling me that the Boston Strangler had a reason for killing all those women? You telling me that Richard Ramirez? Because if you're telling me that, then that's what you're saying about Al-Qaeda. That's essentially now a new way of looking at this kind of crime. Well, you know, he had his reasons. I'm not saying they were right, but he had his reasons. You're missing the point. You're missing entirely what these guys are about. They're run by a psychopath who was the son of a father that had 8 million kids, 7 million mothers. God knows if he got any kind of real parenting, this Bin Laden. The idea of killing those people was, in his mind, was not only was it justified, but it was probably enjoyable. He was smiling when he went to see the one-eyed mullah there after the attacks on 9/11. He was smiling. He was talking about, wow, what a great job we did, and let me just tell you all about it. This is not a human. This is an anti-human, as we call them. A psychopath. So Ron Paul buying Al-Qaeda's, reasons, the stated propaganda, is shocking. So that's why he is now dismissed in my mind as somebody that doesn't think clearly. I didn't say he's crazy. I'm not saying he's nuts. I'm not saying that the guy's not smart. God knows he's a very intelligent man. But his read on that situation, and let me tell you something, the American people are the same way. Americans, politicians, they don't know a damn thing about foreign policy. They don't know a damn thing about the world. They're almost as ignorant of the world as the world is of us. And the world is pretty damn ignorant when it comes to America, despite what you've heard. Believe me.
Yeah, this guy's talking about how America's this and that, and they don't even know nothing about it.
Well, they don't know anything about it because, like we've often said, in the minds of a totalitarian, they think they've got it figured out. They couldn't be more wrong. When that clown, that what's-his-face, that bloody Bin Laden was talking before the 2004 election, I think it was, and he was talking about Bush reading to the children and ignoring what had happened. In other words, what he had done, and you know that TV, him watching the television?
I was watching that, man. I was wondering if he was going to look at Fahrenheit 9/11.
Well, that's exactly what he did watch. This jackass Bin Laden watched Fahrenheit 9/11 by what's-his-face Moore and got all of his ideas for that little tape he released. Everything that he said on that tape, the 2004 tape, was in Fahrenheit 9/11. So basically it's like Michael Moore gave him all, I'm not saying that Michael Moore collaborated with Bin Laden, but if Moore were brighter, he'd realize that on some level he had, on some level he was making the argument for those scumbags. They don't have any argument. The guy that cut that kid's head off, you remember that young man, Nicholas Berg?
Yeah.
That scum that we eventually took out with a bunker buster, I think. Whatever the hell his name was, that head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Are you trying to tell me that severing a man's head on a videotape? And I watched that tape. I watched it all.
I don't know how you did that, man. You got some kind of a...
You must enjoy that.
What do you mean enjoy? I had to belt you just for saying that. What do you mean enjoy it? That was tough to watch. I had to watch it.
Why?
Because it's my job. That's my job. Are you trying to tell me, Paul, that guy, and don't tell me it's different, because flying an aircraft into a building and incinerating human beings, there ain't much different between, I don't see any difference between that, and on a videotape, taking a young man and tossing him on the floor and sawing his head off, because that's exactly what happened.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, I watched the tape, and that's what he did while the guy lay there screaming. Are you telling me let me tell you the reason for that, Phil. Why is that, man? Because we got troops on there? Yeah, and because of the Palestinians, and because, I'm telling you, I lost I would never vote for Ron Paul. Even yesterday I was going to vote for him, but I had respect for his ability to, I think, size up the world a little bit. Well, he's got his head so far up his ass with the Iraq and 9/11 that even the people in the audience who were total Tea Party freaks were a little bit stunned. So then you move on to who else?
I don't know. That's it.
What do you mean, that's it?
Well, that's all I want to talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about... What do you mean, that's all you want to talk about?
Yeah, talk about that guy getting his head cut off.
Look it. There was Bachman. Oh, geez, Bachman. Bachman, according to CNN, had her strongest showing. I think that she was very forceful, yeah. And I think that she was very much... I think she was good on that vaccine that Rick Perry gave the girls. I don't know what the hell that was, but there was some kind of a forced vaccine that he apologized for. I didn't quite get that, but she scored points with that. The guy that was solid through the whole night, two of them, that were noticeably solid. I don't know that Santorum made a misstep, but Rick Santorum is not going to get anybody's attention. He doesn't get... There's nobody that likes him. Was Herman Cain and Mitt Romney. Those guys didn't make a mistake. And that guy Cain, I'm going to tell you something right now. That guy is a great candidate. I don't know how much support he's going to get. People probably don't think he's electable because he's a relatively unknown guy. But I tell you, that guy, every time he opened his mouth, he didn't stutter step. He didn't have a hesitation. He knew exactly what it was he wanted to say. He addressed every single question, and he was on point with every single question, and he was sharp, and he talks like a guy that's run a business. And, of course, everybody knows that the drawback on running businesses is that's not how you run the U.S. government. All right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. All kinds of news. The ACLU pressures a school district to allow Internet access to LGBT sites. What is going on? Serena Williams calls the U.S. Open umpire a hater. 9/11 Memorial Plaza in New York opens to the public. That's coming up here tonight in this News and Information Hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. To the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Dan just gave his Twitter handle out on our Phil TV and HD feed, which means he's going to get nailed now by some of the people that like me. And there's all kinds, you know, there's all kinds. There's people that like you, and there's people that there's people that don't like you, you know.
Why don't people like you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, probably because I have a political... Sometimes, because the show is essentially a comedy show, so maybe they hate me because they thought it was funnier once, and now it isn't. Maybe they hate me because they can't be my friend. I don't know how weird some people are, you know, but they do get weird, and they get so weird that you have to, call out the reinforcements sometimes. Now, listen to this. Cam Newton throws for 422 yards in his NFL rookie debut, setting an NFL rookie record. Do you know who Cam Newton is?
Uh-uh.
He was the quarterback at Clemson last year, and he was the number one draft pick of the Carolina Panthers, as well he should be. He got the starting job. As will happen when a team is desperate, they got to get something going. And would you believe, even with the 422 yards, the record setting, the two touchdowns, et cetera, they still lost to the Arizona Cardinals 28-21. Well, it's going to happen, you know.
Wait a minute, you said it's going to happen what?
It's going to happen.
Yeah, but you said it's going to happen. Two things going to happen.
Well, no, I said that it's going to get out of here, will you?
Well, what you mean?
What I'm saying is, here's what I'm saying about that. You know, I remember a football game on a Sunday afternoon, and I had just moved to Central Florida. I was a young construction worker. I was only 19 or 20 years of age, and I was sharing an apartment with a couple of buddies of mine, and every morning we got our asses out of bed, and we went, that looks really weird, man, the way that that's...
What?
On my Phil TV and HD, that one part of my headphone looks invisible. Anyway, And we would get out of bed in the morning and go to our little jobs, cement finishers and framing carpenters and laborers these jobs that we had in construction. That's what I was doing when I first moved from California, went to Florida. And then on the weekends, we would get our, and I'm telling you, we got our case of Old Milwaukee beer.
Where'd you get that?
Because Old Milwaukee beer at that time, you ready for this, folks? This is this will give you an idea as to prices, but even for those days, which is like 1972, this was El Cheapo. Six-pack of Old Milwaukee was 99 cents.
Get out of here, man. You're kidding. You ain't remember it right.
I remember it exactly right. Why do you think I bought it? Why do you think Old Milwaukee came out in 1972. It was his first year. And when you're 19, there's one thing you do pay attention to, and that is what beer is out there and how much does it cost and how much beer can you drink and, you know, like that.
It was 99 cents for one?
For a six-pack.
What?
Yes. I'm telling you. Will you listen to what I'm saying? So we would get a case of this stuff on Sundays, and on Sunday, that's when we would go out to the pool at the apartment complex. Have young teenagers changed? I don't think so. And when I say young adults, I should say, I don't think much has changed in the lives of teenagers, because as I was listening to, and I was in Orlando, only I was in Orlando in 1972, as I was listening to the Casey Anthony trial, and you got a snapshot of the life, the nightlife in Orlando for young people there. When I lived in Orlando in 72, as my father used to call it, a wide spot in the road, man. I mean, if you blinked, you'd miss the city. There was nothing going on. There was nothing to do. There were parties, if you could find a party. There were different bars on Colonial Drive. There was one bar, I remember the Club Escadrille on Colonial Drive. But it wasn't until Rosie O'Grady's was established, I think, in 74 that we had anywhere to go. And then we would go down to Rosie O'Grady's at Church Street Station. And as I remember watching that Casey Anthony trial, that's where everybody now go. They go downtown, as they say. But there's probably clubs all over the place down there. There was nothing. But listening to that trial, I realized things haven't really changed all that much. You buy beer and you go party. You know, so that's what we were doing. And on a Sunday afternoon, get a case of beer, go out by the pool, talk to the girls, drink a bunch of beer, get really hammered, and then come in at 1 o'clock for the first game. And I'll never forget this one Sunday. I'm watching this game, and it was Johnny Unitas versus Joe Namath. It was a Sunday afternoon NFL game on TV. The two of these guys combined for somewhere in the neighborhood of, I mean, I'm not kidding you, like 900 yards.
Get out of here, man.
900 yards?
900 yards. Almost. Look it up. It's a combined yardage record, I think. It was insane. I forget who won the game. I think the Jets won the game. It was Unitas, the veteran, and Namath, who was 3 years off of his Super Bowl win. And Unitas had won the previous year, I think. So I see these 422-yard games that these guys have. It ain't all that unusual. And this guy, a rookie, Cam Newton, this guy is going to be something. This guy may be another Steve Young. He may be another Joe Montana. We'll see. Newton earned the respect of his opponents in the process. His big numbers came even though the playbook he's using remains limited. We really had to pare it back an awful lot, and it's going to grow each week, said the Panther coach Ron Rivera. Newton completed 24-37 with one interception. He was everything everybody didn't expect him to be, said Steve Smith, who caught eight of those passes for 178 yards, including TDs of 77 and 26 yards. He was on point. He made great runs. He made some great reads. He made some fantastic throws. He made throws out there that, honestly, as a receiver, it made it easy to catch him. The statistics seem to mean little to the big young quarterback, who was unbeaten in his BCS championship season at Auburn. Oh, I said Clemson, excuse me, Auburn. The last time I lost a game was Navarro Junior College. What do you want me to say? It feels great. It is not a comfortable feeling for me, though. I don't know what he means by that.
What's that mean?
I'll tell you this. If you get guys that are used to winning, that's really good. They say that Al Davis, and I don't know if Al Davis still does this, they used to say that Al Davis would draft, he would start out by drafting guys from USC, Notre Dame, and Ohio State because all of those programs won, and he wanted guys that were used to winning football games. He wanted people who would get angry if they lost, who didn't understand it if they lost, who were like, what the hell is this losing? I don't do this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense. And this kid Newton, that's what he feels like. That's the, but he lost.
That's what he meant about being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Final score, it was Arizona 28, Carolina 21. in Glendale, Arizona. What a ball game. Fantastic. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. When we come back, we still got a couple of things to talk about concerning the 9/11 remembrance, which was just beautiful. Just beautiful. And Mel Gibson, he's still on about this Judah Maccabee movie, this Jewish hero that Mel Gibson, he wants to do this movie. He's just pressing right ahead like nobody knows nothing. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall joining us, the Vice President of Syndication for our program. We did not have the time that we wanted for you tonight, David, just because we got pushed around schedule-wise.
I got a call from this lady, Ms. Dooley, who said that you had...
Bobby Dooley.
Right. She said that you had blocked out time for her talking about the Kardashian wedding.
She wanted to talk about renewing wedding vows.
I don't know what it was about, but I got a call from her. She was not happy. And I say that, I know that we're on the air right now, Phil. I say that to your audience is listening. I'm saying I support you. And sometimes it happens, and Ms. Dooley is listening right now. I know that there's no secret that, Ms. Dooley, you were not happy with Mr. Hendry, but I'm calling you to tell you, Phil, that we support you and we intercede on your behalf.
Well, she's listening to you right now. Is she going to think that you don't support her?
Well, I do support her. What my job is to be the happy medium, you know, between people. My job is to be the goodwill generator for the Phil Hendry Show. And the reason why I say that is, if you don't mind, I wanted to bring something. I don't think your audience is going to mind this at all.
Well, what would you like to...
I know it seems like a loaded question, Phil, I know.
Well, what would you like to bring up?
Well, I wanted to talk to you because I was reminded of this by the call I got from Ms. Dooley about your trip to Chicago on Thursday.
Okay, I mean...
It's not bad, but I won't if you don't want me to. I mean, I'd like to.
Well, my trip to Chicago on Thursday is to speak on a panel at the National Association of Broadcasters radio show.
Right. Joel Denver is going to be the moderator, and Bubba the Love Sponge, and a couple of gentlemen from WBBM.
Right.
And I wanted to say to you simply this, that to try not to offend any of the people there so that we can get more affiliate business for your show.
It's not my intention to offend anybody.
No, I know it's not your intention to offend anybody, but are you going to talk about what the industry needs and all that?
Am I going to talk about what the industry needs? You know, I've been invited to this panel.
Well, I saw the panel. It's about social media.
Yeah, it's about social media, and it's a great panel. It's not the first one I've been on. It's about building audience and building a consumer base using social media.
All right. And that sounds fine, but you always, and I shouldn't say always.
Look, we're getting in now again to the inner workings of the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, this is why I say, you know, when I came on, I said, if you don't want me to talk about it.
Well, I didn't want you to talk about it.
But you put me on the air, didn't you?
Because I thought you were going to tell me about Ms. Dooley, and you had something to tell me along those lines.
No, once you put me on the air, and the audience understands this, once you put me on the air, then I get to bring up what I want to bring up.
I don't know that it works like that. You know?
Well, yes, it does work like that. I said to you, let me see if I got this right. I said to you, can I talk to you about the thing coming,
you asked me to talk, you wanted to talk to me about Ms. Dooley, Bobby Dooley.
Right. Okay.
All right, that's, and I said yes.
Yeah, and then I came on the air, and now I can talk about anything I want.
In any event, so what is this, what's the...
Phil, I don't want to argue with you. All I'm saying to you is that when you go to this thing on Thursday and you start talking about the social media and this and that, and that's all great, you inadvertently wind up talking about what a bunch of scumbags everybody in radio is. And
no, I do not say that. No, I don't.
Not everyone in radio, but all of the suits.
No, I don't do that.
You don't?
No, I do not.
Well, I heard Rick D's having to kind of calm you down.
He was telling me, look, man, don't bat. If they ask me my impressions about the... David, what did I tell you 2 weeks ago?
You said it wasn't your fight.
Exactly.
You said that you were picking and choosing your battles.
Exactly.
You said that you could care less what happens to the industry.
I didn't say that. But I said, look, man, I'm not, I'm not fighting anybody's fight. I don't give a sweet damn one way or the other. I'm just talking about my show. Okay?
Right.
So how does that...
It's just that when you talk about your show, talk about it in a way that is going to get people to like you as opposed to say you're a pain in the ass.
Well, let me explain something, okay?
Oh, you're going to explain?
Yeah, I'm going to explain something. There's all kinds of pains in the asses in this industry. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only guy with an ego. I'm not the only guy with an attitude. I'm not the only guy who is demanding. This is the fact, and this is what you got to live with, you know. And the stuff that I've brought up in the past, I don't apologize for any of that. However,
yeah.
However, I am not a crusader for a better radio industry.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear.
All right, I mean, I'm not going to get there and, oh, wow, you know, I don't care. And you know, I listened to somebody tell me one time, well, you know, Phil, you're one of the elder statesmen of the broadcasting business. Yeah, you know, big deal. All I want to do is go there, be on this panel, talk about how we use social media. If it gets us some business, that's great. If it doesn't, well, you know, then I have to, you know...
Talking about you didn't want to go.
I'm saying that I'm not going to waste my time going to these things, man, if it doesn't result in business. Now, not everyone has to. Not everything that we go to has to be a ball, you know, knock the ball out of the park. But I have to see over a period of time that whether or not going to these industry things helps this radio show's business or not.
Well, I mean, you're meeting people.
Yeah, I'm meeting people. So what?
So what? What if you meet, like, the guy, one of the big shots that runs one of these companies, and he says, hey, Phil, really like your show?
That's not going to mean anything to me, man, unless that guy puts my show on his stations. I don't give a damn. Okay?
Remember when you said that Urbanski had lunch with that guy from Cumulus, and the guy wound up adding his show?
Yeah. Urbanski had lunch with that guy from Cumulus. The guy wound up adding his show, and the guy wound up adding a crap show.
Right. So if you were to have lunch with that guy from Cumulus... Maybe he'd add your show, which is a good show.
That guy from Cumulus don't want a comedy show. He wants the Urbanski show.
It's a piece of crap.
Well, he didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
I'll think about it, man.
Just think about having some lunch with people. Think about doing lunch, okay? I know the idea of it makes you sick. Just think about it.
It doesn't make me sick. It's...
What? Oh, I get it. It's beneath you.
No, it's not beneath me.
Yeah, you're right, Mr. Ollie's all, oh, wow, I don't do that.
Yeah, you can't be that way.
I'm not saying that it's beneath me.
Yeah, you are. You're talking about how you're better than that. And
he didn't want to go do lunch with nobody.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's phony or something.
Is that it? You think it's phony baloney?
No, I don't think it's phony baloney, okay?
You probably think it's phony baloney, and that for you to go to lunch with these guys... dirties up your reputation.
Yeah, that's what he said, too.
I never said anything of the sort. I'll have lunch with these guys.
Well, don't strain yourself, okay? Your Highness. Don't...
Come on, man. I said I would.
No, don't strain yourself. Don't go out and have lunch or breakfast with these guys. It may sully your reputation among the artistes. Boy, you really take the cake.
Relax, will you? I'll have lunch with these guys. Whoever you want me to have lunch with, I'll have lunch with.
Breakfast, too?
Yes, I'll yeah.
Dinner?
Yes.
What about drinks?
I said yes.
Uh-oh.
Don't give me that you hung up on Mr. Hall stuff, because I know I hung up on him. I'm glad I hung up on him, and it's going to be okay, bud. Take it easy, will you? So anyway, we got that out of the way. So anyway, we're going to be in Chicago on Thursday for our panel, which I think is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. So if you're in Chicago, fall on by. Although, you know what? I guess you can't. I guess you have to have a pass.
Yeah, you got to have a pass to get in.
All right, never mind about falling by. Here is something that is truly a sad story. Monica Lewinsky is living the sad, lonely life of a near recluse as she struggles to make ends meet, according to the National Enquirer. The Inquirer has learned that the infamous 38-year-old, who will always be remembered for her shocking affair with President Bill Clinton, bounces from New York to Los Angeles, crashing with family and desperately trying to live down her scandalous past. Monica's self-esteem is at an all-time low, an insider told The Inquirer. She's given up her own place, and her handbag line crashed. I guess she had a line of...
Some kind of, like, fashion or something.
Like handbag, purses.
Purses. She's given up her own place. Her handbag line crashed. Now she drifts between two coasts and toys with projects that probably will never get off the ground. Monica's goal is to set up her own public relations firm specializing in environmental issues. She's alone most of the time and is pretty much a social pariah. She's given up on ever finding love. It doesn't even have friends. Monica still feels like she's the punchline to a dirty joke. She was 21 when she began working in the White House in 1995. Her sexual relationship with Clinton, now 65, created a worldwide firestorm and led to a Republican-prompted impeachment in the House and trial in the Senate, where he was found not guilty and retained his office. In late June, the former White House intern made a rare outing as part of a small dinner party at Lucy's El Adobe Cafe in Hollywood, where gawkers at other tables let fly with wisecracks. Really? Who would have such low, manners?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, who's going to start making wisecracks? You know what? People are real pigs, man. People have got, in terms of people's public demeanor and behavior, it's never been lower, man. Real slobs. Monica looked emotionless and barely talked, an eyewitness told The Inquirer. I guess I would have said something.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I'm joking. I would not. So, the El Adobe Cafe in Hollywood, is that the one still down there on Melrose? I guess so.
Yeah, that's the one where Jerry Brown used to make out with Linda Ronstadt.
Used to make out with Linda Ronstadt. Boy, that's a hot one.
You don't believe it?
I don't know, but I think Governor Brown is like the over 100 years late, President James Buchanan. I just don't think he's interested in sex. How about that? So she's living a sad, lonely life. That sucks. But what are you going to do? You know, what do you do for her? It stinks. You made the decision to get involved with this man, this very powerful married man. He happened to be the president of the United States. A dumb thing to do. And I know a lot of people want to blame Clinton. And, of course, you know, he shares responsibility. I thought what he did was the lowest thing. A president of the United States made me sick. Made me sick. And I voted for the guy twice, but I was in favor of him being impeached. I ain't moving on from nothing, man, you know. But, hey, they found him not guilty, so... But here's this woman, she's sort of a casualty of the situation. You got to pull it together there, Monica. I don't know how you do it. I understand how you're feeling. I really do. I really do. You feel like you did this and you did that and you did everything right and maybe he was going to leave his wife and he was going to be with you. You feel like maybe you had a shot and the whole world has just, like, not gone the way you thought it should. I get it. You know, buck up. Some people find out they have a brain tumor. You know, you don't have that. Some people lose every nickel they ever had in a stock market crash. That didn't happen to you. You know, some people, a dear friend dies or something. That didn't. So there are things in this world. It's just like that. You got to deal with it.
Why don't I try and get her on the show?
She ain't going to come on this show, man. There's no way. And that's not the kind of guest that we put on. I'm not going to put her on the show. What am I going to do? Do a straight interview with her?
Yeah, you can. You'd, like, be her friend and everything.
Get out of here. I ain't using nobody for the... What's her phone number?
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll be right back. No, we're not going to get her on the show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and more news. A fighter jets shadow two planes in Detroit and New York City. There was all kinds of paranoia, as you know, around 9/11 on Sunday, so we'll see what was up with that. When we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Go over there, get a backstage pass, buy merchandise. Okay, let's go. I got to make a living over here. You know, we're in the middle of a recession. I know you, the discretionary income is very limited, but let me ask you a question, folks. You want to go out and watch a movie and $11, $15, whatever the hell you spend, that's great. Ball games. What we offer you, and by the way, October 1st, I'm just going to say October 1st.
What?
You know, if you're a backstage pass holder today, if you are in other words, a first-generation backstage pass holder, your price stays the same, baby, for a subscription. Your price remains the same. As of October 1st, all new business to the Phil Henry Show website will be paying a higher price. So get a backstage pass today and become a member of our first-generation family on the Phil Henry Show. Okay. 9/11, what happened, man? You know, it was beautiful. It really was. It was gorgeous. But there were security concerns even on 9/11, as we know, and as you know. There obviously are dates that Al-Qaeda pays attention to, and one of those is the big one, 9/11. So fighter jets were scrambled, and they escorted two flights, one to New York, another to Detroit, after passengers using the bathrooms aroused suspicion. On Sunday, on a Los Angeles to New York American Airlines flight, three passengers made repeated trips to the bathroom. The three were cleared after the plane landed safely at New York's Kennedy Airport. Earlier, a Denver to Detroit Frontier Airlines flight, the crew reported that two people were spending an extraordinarily long time in the bathroom. Frontier spokesman Peter Kalachuk said police detained three passengers at Detroit's Metropolitan Airport after the plane landed without incident. They were released. In both instances, the FBI said the jets shadowed the planes, fighter jets, out of an abundance of caution. New York in particular has been in a heightened state of security after federal officials received what they called a credible but uncorroborated tip of a car bomb plot on the September 11th anniversary in either New York or Washington. American Airlines spokespeople said the plane's captain never declared a security threat and never asked for law enforcement help. A security concern was brought to the airline's attention. The crew used normal procedures to assess the circumstances and the plane landed. Apparently, these clowns that were causing all this stuff in the bathroom, they were having sex or making out or something.
You're kidding me. They was making out? You can make out at your seat.
Yeah.
Well, I heard when they said it on the news, they said making out, so perhaps they were being delicate. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, scrambled two F-16 jets to shadow American Airlines Flight 34 until it landed safely at 4:10 p.m. local time. The Transportation Security Administration said in a statement, on the flight, the three passengers made repeated trips to the bathroom, and some thought they were using hand signals to communicate, according to law enforcement officials. The official was not authorized to speak publicly and spoke to the Associated Press in condition of anonymity. And his name is Bob I'm kidding.
Can't do that. He's anonymity.
What do you mean, I can't do that? He's anonymity.
Well, I mean, you can't say it.
Yes, I can.
Why?
There's no law that says I can't say the guy's name. If he said, I want to speak to you on condition of anonymity, I said, well, guess what? I think I'm going to give your name. That's not I'm not breaking a law. I mean, the guy will never talk to me again. I mean, as a reporter, I'm finished because once you out a source, nobody's going to want to talk to you.
That ain't against the law?
It ain't against the law. What are you talking about against the law? There's nothing against the law or for the law about it. I mean, you know, if you want to out a source and publish their name, good for you. But guess what? Who's ever going to talk to you again?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Exactly. The Airbus 318 taxied to a pad away from the terminal. One of the guys had a pad close by. Ha 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 ha. The three escorted off the plane in handcuffs included two men and a woman, and they were having sex in a toilet. And anyway, two of the men were Israeli and one was Russian. Well, that'd freak me out. Oh, there you go. I mean, Israeli, Russian, what's the difference? That's number one. Number two, the way they talk, it's classic Cold War freak out. Just, I mean, right away, you know, what do we got? Nuclear bombs? What's going on? So that's where that was at. I got to tell you something. Yesterday, we were posting pictures on the website as part of our way of observing the 9/11 anniversary, and all we did was without captions and really without opening up the comments section, because I really didn't want anybody wrecking just this display. And we put these pictures, and as I was going through the internet looking for pictures, I came across some just, oh, man, wrecked stuff.
Like what?
I don't want to pictures of people after they'd fallen off the building.
Oh, man, what it looked like.
I'm not even going to go into it. But I saw, well, you know what? There's not enough time to really explain. I saw the face of one of the people that had jumped off the building, and they were laying on their back on the cement. And the look on their face was a look of pain, man. It wasn't like they passed out in flight. It wasn't like they looked like they'd been released from their agony. They were still with this excruciating look on their face of, this sucks, having to jump out of a building, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does suck. Anyway, that struck me. That will stay with me. I hope you will stay with us. I hope you will go to our website, get a backstage pass, and then stay with us. Our show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Phil Hendry, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson. Dan Northcraft is what I said, not Kraft.
Phil Hendry.